Hello, everybody.
Hi.
We're back.
Back from vacation. Super excited about the last week of Big Brother.
Yes.
We're going to be tying up three episodes like we did the week before.
Mm-hmm. This will be episodes, I think.
Six or nine, right?
No, it's. I think it's actually like nine through 11.
11?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Look at me. I don't know why I said six or nine.
We are...
I was in last week. I mean, apparently, like, that last week I must have missed in my head from vacation.
Well, I watched the live eviction, and you were still on vacation, and right after the live eviction, I went on vacation.
You evicted yourself to the beach.
I did evict myself to the beach, very briefly. So, we're welcoming all of our listeners who've been patiently waiting, because we... plan to do these on Fridays, but we both were out of town and unable to link up. So thanks for coming back and waiting patiently for the Big Brother podcast.
Thank you, friends and listeners.
I am Renita, and this is Antonella, and we're going to
Hi.
We're going to go ahead and think where we left off at. We have
Sunday's episode last week
where we crowned the two heads of household, right?
That would have made it the 13th mm-hmm. of July.
Correct.
Yes. So we know that there are two heads of households right now. There's Derek, a.k.a. Mr. Cop.
Yes.
So maybe we should call him 22 Jump Street. I like it. Not 21.
22 Jump Street.
22 Jump Street.
All right.
All right. And then Nicole, I love Nicole on mm-hmm. many levels, but that voice kind of makes me want to stab her.
Yes, she has, it's weird that it's so, her voice is so nasally, and she has only like a sliver of a nostril, so that voice does, that voice is quite... it's whining and it really is. Yeah, she's.
Oh my gosh, that was excellent.
Thank you,
Renita. That was excellent.
Working on my Nicole. But she and Derek are the co-heads of household for now. I remember Derek meeting up with her and trying to talk a little game, and he was like, you know, you're a lot like me. You haven't done a lot of, you know, out in the open game talking and kind of just lying low. So he was like, we need to, you know, figure out how we're going to do these nominees.
Yeah. I mean, that basically sums up this whole episode. We can move on. Mm-hmm. I mean, what we have here right now is everybody knows that the guy on the block this week, regardless of what anybody says, does, mm-hmm. the hatred that can go around.
Right.
The number one target, I think, for everyone, even though Zach is the only one who actually vocalized it,
right,
is Devin. Devin right. is Dunzo. I mean, nobody likes the guy.
Right.
It all is kind of interesting. And I think he knows, I mean, obviously he said, you know, he even said to Derek, look, if you don't put me up, your game's going to be over.
Right.
Devin knows, you know, Derek knows, Devin knows, that Derek knows.
Everybody.
Everybody knows.
Everybody knows that he's the, you know, he's the target. He's the guy that they got to get out of there. And we talked on this briefly before we started this. Devin has self-destructed and started a 6-to-8 person alliance within the first two hours.
It's like the whole house, practically.
Right.
Like four people.
And he was driving me completely insane. He was completely nutso and looking like he was in the need of some medication. But if nothing else, he was entertaining. With all of this, get Devin out of the talk. I'm like, you know, he does get on my nerves. I want him out. He's crazy. It's time for him to go. But at the same time, I'm like, maybe they should keep him around.
Right. Well, I mean, so what we know right now is basically in Big Brother, especially when you have a strong competitor that you need to get out, putting them straight up on the block is really tough.
Yes.
And because if they're strong, they can win the POV, they can game their way to a POV, you know, being granted, and it just, you know, it's you're just probably right. bad form at this point.
Yes, you're absolutely right.
So...
And that's what he was banking on. He was banking on heaven because with this new twist, with the battle of the block and the POV, he has two opportunities to save himself.
Right. So I think that everyone realizes that this can't be straightaway Nod anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Nod slash Nom, whatever.
Right.
Makes you feel better. And so I think right now Derek was at the point where he felt as though Caleb would have been an excellent choice for a pseudo nomination.
Correct.
Basically, you know, all these people who agree that to be a pawn always go home. So whenever somebody's like, oh, throw the competition, I'm like, you're absolutely
idiots,
bonkers.
Right.
Because 9 times out of 10, these poor assholes go home.
Yes.
So he says, to Caleb, if he goes up on the block and throws a competition to save Amber,
right?
It's a cowboy risk. You could wind up looking like a straight G, a
yes.
knight in shining armor.
Yes.
Well, because Caleb's looking up like a straight cuckoo.
Always, always and forever.
Well. It took like half a second for him to be like, yeah, okay, that's cool.
Dude, he's just as Looney Tunes as Devin. He just like, without a second thought, as if he's never seen this game, just like blindly agreed with Derek's suggestion at him
yes.
going up to, you know, going up on the block and going on a block and throwing a competition. Insane.
Yes. It's insane. Honestly, the entire time I'm thinking, what in the world is wrong with this guy? He has zero perspective.
Right. Right.
Caleb has zero perspective.
Well, he has one perspective.
One perspective. Which is like, chick who's not interested in you.
At all.
Like, it was one of the sad... It's actually probably one of the saddest things I've seen in quite some time.
Yes, it is. But we'll touch on that many more times before we get to before we get to the final to the eviction night. So, and then okay, I guess across the house elsewhere, Nicole's chatting with Donnie cuz she doesn't know who to put up. He's like suggesting.
And Donnie might as well just be Jesus at this point.
He may as well be. He's good. God, I gotta, you know, go and consult with Jesus. So
with Jesus.
And he's like throwing these names out, blah, blah, blah. And she's like shooting them all down. No, I like her. No, I like her. And she calls herself a super fan as well. And I'm thinking, honey child, eventually you're going to have to... put people up and nominate people. You can't just say, no, I like this person, I like that person. But at present, there are still plenty of people in the house to kind of not have to put someone up that you are quite friendly with. So Donnie suggests to Nicole, put up your friend Christine.
You know, Donnie, you know, in the end, Donnie is actually getting much further than I thought he would in this game.
Right.
Because he is just so darn likable.
Right. Mm-hmm.
In this blasted, like, numbskull way.
Right. I mean, like, he's playing himself so well. Like, he's not acting.
One of the better things I've heard in some time about a descriptor.
Right.
So, of course, is this the episode where we had Jeff going to visit his family?
No, that would...
Or is that the elimination?
That's on the elimination episode.
Okay, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
For some reason, that just popped into my head and I couldn't remember. So, okay. So, where were we?
So, obviously Nicole runs back and tells Christine, you know, he told me to put you up, and Christine's like, oh, hell no. So, you know, Nicole has confided in Donnie, telling her about this harebrained scheme of putting Caleb up, Caleb putting himself up to save, to throw the competition. And she's like, don't tell anybody. Please don't tell anybody. Of course, they leave the room. The first thing Donnie does is go outside and tells everybody.
Everybody.
Everybody. Caleb's going to put himself on the block. They want to throw the competition. So who comes back and tells Nicole, like, right after it happened? I think it may have been Christine. She was like, he just came outside and told everybody. And she was like, what? She was legitimately, like, shocked. Like, how could he do that? Why would he do that?
Because why wouldn't he do that is more
the question.
I realize that a lot of these people are just not playing this game. I think the only people that are playing this game are Christine mm-hmm. and Derek.
Yes.
Nicole is a little puppet, bless her little peeping heart.
Right.
Spicoli is in his own world trying to steal that kiss.
Yes.
And I mean,
Jocasta and Victoria, we completely forget about.
Jocasta just cries. I don't know what's wrong with her. I mean, she's like in freaking like hysterics
all the time.
What's going on with that? Like, stop crying, please. Like, this is not a sad show.
It's not. I love how they play the sad music though every time she cries. It's pretty awesome.
My God, like, just bring it down a notch with the just bawling. Oh my goodness gracious. Okay, so, by the way, what do you think of this whole Team America? So, right now, in this episode, they had to spread a rumor.
Yeah, I kind of like this part, but I don't quite understand, like, how, I'm guessing, I thought maybe, you know, they had to spread this rumor. Well, this could potentially hurt someone's game, even though they have this little fun challenge going on. They're spreading a rumor. The rumor is that one of the house guests is related to another house guest from last season. And so they came up with, basically they have to, all three of them have to spread this rumor, right? Three people have to start talking about it to other people so that they can win this five G's. And so basically Frankie comes up with the lie or slash rumor, Zach Attack is related to our Amanda from last season's super couple McCray and Amanda McCranda. And so they all go around telling this one and that one that I think Pow Pow, the rumor was that Pow Pow told who on the way out of the door Pow Pow told Donnie that Zach and Amanda were related. And so they just kind of spread it from.
It's even a good rumor, though. I mean, did you really like this rumor? I didn't really think it's that crazy or wacky. My favorite part, though, in all of this,
yes.
which I thought was hilarious, is yes. Zach is like, sure. Yeah, that's right.
Right.
I am.
Yeah, I loved it. I was like, they can't. I'm like, this isn't even, because that was my whole thing. I was like, this could potentially ruin someone's game if the house runs with it and then, like, takes up an issue that he lied or hasn't been completely forthright. But he's like, okay, yeah. And just, like, laughing right along with it and just kind of agreeing to it and saying, that's, you know, yep, that's who I am. That's who I am. And so it ended up not being, you know, some detrimental to his game, but they all won their $5,000. They completed their Team America task. Team America of Frankie, Donnie, and Derek, right?
Yes.
Right.
So then they have the block competition,
mm-hmm.
which was a Harry Potter block competition, and they called it Frogwarts. It's pretty cute. I'm not a Harry Potter person, but whatever. If you people are, then you probably know it. and you're dorks. That's okay. I digress. Anyway, so basically, Donnie says, which is hilarious, I love puzzles. Sudoku puzzles, picture puzzles, puzzles in the newspaper, puzzles on the back of a series. What is going on there? A puzzle that is human existence. Jigsaw puzzles.
He named every damn puzzle.
Every puzzle in like ever.
Didn't it sound like Bubblegum Shrimp? Like he just named... It's totally he just did. Named every type of shrimp possible. It's so funny. So Don. So okay. Well. So the nominees.
Donnie is Forrest Gump. Why did I?
He's
that
white Forrest. Book? He's white Forrest Gump.
And, oh my god!
I mean, white bubblegum shrimp.
Fantastic.
So basically, before we get to this competition, Donnie put up. Nicole put up. Donnie and Amber, and Derek put up Jocasta and Caleb.
Yeah.
And
so Donnie and
Donnie and Amber, and of course we know Caleb's aiming to throw the competition, so which is unbeknownst to Jocasta. So back to the gist of the block competition, the Harry Potter puzzle that Donnie just cannot wait to tackle. So Donnie and Amber, they were actually doing really good. I thought, despite the fact that Caleb was being really slick, because basically they have to put together this puzzle, and Jocasta and Amber were on like pulleys trying to put the puzzle together, and Donnie and Caleb were bringing the pieces to them. And this is where Caleb just kind of was moseying along and not trying as hard or try. He was helping Jocasta, but then not really helping.
Was she crying? I don't remember. Oh, wait, she's always crying.
She was crying. She was like really sick after it was all over. So, okay, so it's over, right? Donnie and Amber won, obviously, because Caleb has thrown this thing, and Jocasta is awful at every single competition she's been in so far.
And apparently just cries.
And just cries. It's just awful. So Donnie and Amber won. Yay. Which meant...
Because he likes puzzles. Big puzzles.
All kinds. Little puzzles.
All sorts of puzzles.
Fat puzzles. Skinny puzzles. Fuzzy puzzles.
Oh my goodness gracious.
So they, you know, the competition is over, and then all of a sudden you hear the voice of God in the Big Brother house, and it says, Nicole is no longer head of household, and then she, like, disappears in, like, a poof. And she's gone. She's gone. And everybody's like, oh, what? Where's Nicole? I don't know. I don't know. We'll get to find out where Nicole is next episode, right? So basically, this whole episode
closes out Sunday's episode.
This closes out Sunday's episode where we find where we have our final sole head of household and Derek. Right?
Yes. So on to episode 10 of season 16.
Mm-hmm. This episode, okay. So
what do we know? Derek is head of household.
Yes.
Everyone hates Devin.
Everyone hates Devin. They're trying to ensure that...
Nicole has no blood.
Nicole has no
Not
blood.
Not in her body, but I mean on her hands.
On her hands. No, none whatsoever. She has...
That doesn't sound good.
So, you know, they're all plotting.
He's supposedly Amanda Zuckerman's...
Cousin.
Cousin, mm-hmm. Which is not true. But he's said...
He's going along with the complete lie. For whatever reason.
What else do we know? We know Devin's a single father.
God, do we know Devin's a single father. We know that Brittany is a single mom.
We know Brittany has three kids.
We know
that Nicole comes back and she's wearing a frog costume for the week.
Dude, it's so funny. It's so funny. So she...
Let's see here. We know...
Hayden
and... There's some kind of weirdness going on between Nicole and Spicoli.
You think it's weirdness or it's
cute,
a
cute crushiness?
It's
everyone loves the crushiness here.
It's so cute.
Oh my gosh, I knew it.
You knew what?
I knew it. I knew you would like this. I knew it. Yes. I mean, I'm kind of, I mean, in a weird 14-year-old way, it's right. cute, but, you know, you're there for $500,000.
It's pretty okay, serious.
Yeah. All of a sudden, like, you, like, getting to steal a kiss ain't that cute. Why are you really there, kids?
Right. It's to win some money.
I'm there for $500,000.
I feel you. You're right.
You know what I mean?
Like, I do.
I'm alone now. I mean, this isn't a Rachel Riley, Brendan situation, because she was using that ass for something.
Right.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm just getting all sorts. You know what I'm saying? This is not one of those types of situations. I don't think Nicole is playing this at all to utilize Hayden to get further in the game. I think it's just some weird little 14-year-old crush thing.
It is. It is. It's not even a means to an end. It's certain. You're right, though. But they're so cute. I think he's totally still playing the game. He's totally playing the game.
Oh, I don't know about playing the game. I think he's cute. I think it's cute. Not cute, but I mean, it's cute like that he's, and I think he's really totally into her.
Yeah, he's
legit,
into her.
I think it's like a legit little crush, but still. As far as other crushes go, we know that Caleb is in love with Amber.
Yes, his one-sided love affair with Amber. Like,
bring it down a notch, you creepy fucking freak.
He is.
I just dropped the F-bomb.
That's how bad it is. It is certainly warranted here to use the F-word because...
It's like upskirting with a camera, like following everywhere, like crazy pictures when like through bedroom windows with cracked, like...
She should be scared.
Right?
She should be scared. This isn't going to spoil the next episode that we recap after this, but they there's a new show coming out on CBS called Stalker.
And Caleb is a star.
Babe, in the middle of like him talking to someone about Amber, you know how they have the little flasher of the shows at the bottom of the screen?
Hilarious.
Stalker like came up. I was dying.
I missed that, but that is fantastic.
Please go back and watch.
You know what? I'm gonna have to.
You have to go back and watch.
I think it's on the DVR.
So what episode was that I saw that? That must have been Sunday.
Is it 10? Oh, is it 9?
No. It was either 11 or 12, but it's pretty freaking funny.
Okay, got it. Okay, so what we know too is like, mm-hmm. you know, Amber starting to develop a little thing mm-hmm. with Cody.
Yes, little baby John Travolta.
Baby John Travolta mm-hmm. and her are making eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy Caleb wants to pluck them out.
He's like, what's going on? You know, they walk in a room and he's like,
And then he stares like a weirdo, and it's dark, and he's staring, and it's like, you know, the camera is picking up you in the dark.
Right? I know.
We see you staring and trying to make out what's going on over there.
Right. So they are
a kooky.
They have a little Cody and Caleb moment where they're like two bros trying to figure out which one wants the girls.
What are you figuring out with your bro when you ain't got nothing going on with the girl you're trying to freaking pee on and say is yours?
Is yours, right.
And it just makes no sense.
And he acts like he can't see that she's totally into Cody. She's like,
you know,
flirting.
What that is?
What is it?
Because he can't.
He can't see.
No. He sees nothing but his own crazy.
Oh my God, he calls her his queen and I'm the king. It's so bad.
It's painful.
It's so bad.
It's so bad.
Oh God. So is that all that was going on?
There's a lot of that. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
There's a lot of weirdness going on. Zach is, you know, still saying that he's Amanda's cousin.
Mm-hmm.
And why does why, what's the theme here? Like, every Jew from Florida is related? Like, what is that all about?
No.
Like, I don't understand that.
No.
Like, is that what they're trying to say? Like, I think that's kind of a little weird.
I don't know why they picked her. Or I don't know how Frankie thought that up.
I was wondering, like, that's kind of like, it seems just to me just a smidgy racist, but that's okay.
Yeah, and on top, not, yeah, no. And plus, in light of the way she was last season also, like.
Like evil?
Yeah.
She was weird. She's a weirdo. I wonder if her and her main squeeze are still together.
You know, I asked someone that and they said, hell no, they probably aren't together. But I've been meaning to look, because I asked that exact same thing.
Research.
Yes. Another project, research. So
we have much to research, so we get caught up. Yeah. So, okay, this is where we see Jocasta. I know she's sick. I don't know what's going on here. She's right. Sick, and she can't compete because she's dying of right. something. So, then everybody knows Devin doesn't. They don't. Nobody wants Devin to compete.
Right.
But Christine gets picked, Donnie gets picked, mm-hmm. and Devin gets picked.
Yeah. When they pulled his name out, I was like, damn.
Right. So, interesting.
Right. So.
Okay, so the game that mm-hmm. they have to do is craps.
Right.
And they're actually inside the die.
Right.
And they have to roll numbers.
That looked pretty fun, except for...
I thought so, too.
Unless you're playing for your life, but it looked really cool, like, if you were in one of those big, giant, styrofoamy things, like, rolling around.
I think we should make our own game like that.
I want it.
Maybe, like, do a party game. But you have to drink before you do it. Wouldn't that be amazing?
Just rolling around.
So amazing.
But it was a really cool game. I don't know how these people sit around and come up with these games. A lot of them every season, though, they're very similar. Like, we've seen, you know, puzzles being put together before. We haven't seen it yet this season where you have to, like, army crawl through quicksand damn near. But they have a few that are very similar.
They're getting hit with product, whether right. that be food product or paint or whatever.
Right.
Like condiments.
But you know what we haven't had yet is...
Not condiments.
Oh, God. Right. Please clarify. We haven't had an endurance competition yet. So we know it's coming.
This was a puzzle. Only furthering the thought that, you know, that Donnie is like some sort of elite Navy SEAL.
Right.
Somehow, Donnie beats Devin in the final competition.
It was down to the wire.
And he just brings it home. Donnie, like, becoming, like, I mean, the guy is a pretty, impressive competitor when it comes down to it. He's won several vetoes.
Yes. This is his third, I'm gonna say.
I mean, it's impressive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And people should be scared.
Dude, they think he's all kinds of genius, medical doctor,
hilarious.
PhD, famous author, doctor, evil.
So, basically, Donnie uses the veto on Jocasta, who again falls out in tears. It's like a Baptist church revival.
I know.
like almost dying, like being on a deathbed, and it's just like she's thanking Jesus, she's thanking Donnie, she's thinking Donnie is Jesus.
Yes.
I don't even know.
She's thanked everybody.
Who's related
to Jesus?
She's who isn't related to Jesus?
Who
doesn't want to be related to Jesus?
Well, Donnie told her that he'd used a veto on her, and he wanted, and he did indeed. You know. Tell her after it was over, you know, I'm gonna use this this veto on you. And of course, like you said, she cried and fell out and
she
shouted.
Girl, she cried her eyeballs out. Like, she held on to him cried and cried and cried.
So
I was tired of the crying, really. I'm just tired of her. I just can't take it. She needs to go.
She was still in the bed, right? When
yeah, because she's completely.
She's like dehydrated.
She's cuckoo. She's like, there's something wrong. I'm not sure that she's always got some sort of problems.
That's like, true. Watch her. Yep, you're right.
I figured this out in life. Everybody's got a story, Renny.
That's right.
Everybody's got a story. No story is better than another one. It's just how you tell it.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. I totally agree. But she
non-wisdom.
No. It's true. It's like, you know, it's like that person in school who every time has to do a school project and they somehow get out of their part, but also share in the great grade. And it's like, okay, again, with you have an excuse again.
Of course.
So we'll see how this plays out with Miss Bowtie Jocasta, because for right now, none of us are impressed.
Bow ties as well. No.
The bow ties are completely ridiculous.
Thank you.
There are sometimes bow ties on collarless shirts. Bow ties just around her neck. As if she's Comic the Insult Dog.
Yeah.
It's pretty cuckoo. But anyway, Jocasta's safe thanks to Professor Donnie. And Derek has to name...
Dr.
What did you call him in the beginning? Duck Dynasty. Dr. Duck Dynasty Donnie. Well, okay, so Derek has to put up his replacement nominee, and this is where they finally get their plan in motion to backdoor Devin. He is Jocasta's replacement nominee. Ta-da.
Dun-dun-dun.
Didn't see that coming. They did good. Derek did well, you know, this week, helping to mastermind this whole backdooring of Devin.
So then, that leads us to season 16, episode 11.
Yep, this is eviction night, live eviction night. And I have to, now that we're getting down to the wire, I'm starting to spoil the crap out of everything. But what I love about Big Brother is that you can't spoil the live eviction night. So
right.
I won't promise not to spoil it in the podcast. But we have been kind of peeking in on some of the live feed talks and conversations.
The BB at night.
Yeah, it's been pretty awesome. It's been pretty awesome. So here we go. We know it's you know, everybody's been focusing on Devin. He's the reason why we did all of this. He's the reason why we had beast mode. Caleb go up on the block, and because he's going to be safe and we're going to secure this house vote on getting Devin out, having the numbers to get Devin out. How do we start off this episode?
I think some of the interesting conversations that we saw to set this up were really by Cody going around to the house to discuss his ability to deal with crazy Caleb.
Right.
So as we all know, once upon, like, huge mistake could potentially go home. I mean, it is the one constant. Seeming like, you know, 99% certainty that you're going to be crushed in this.
Right.
So, you know, again, Cody tries to prove this to be the case.
Yes.
He's decided that he is a threat to Caleb, which he is obviously
a total threat. Yeah.
So he's picked up on it, and he thinks because of this Amber situation, Caleb is going to set the guns in his direction after Devin's gone.
Right.
Is this correct? Honestly, I think he's on to something.
I thought he was on to something too. And along with these conversations, we see all these confessionals from at least four or five of the house guests who talk about Caleb and his crazy stalking.
There's no way to describe it, right? He's just off the reservation.
He's gone, and they're all like, what is going, you know, he's got this Amber thing. He's not playing. He doesn't have his head in the game. It's dangerous for my game. It's dangerous for his game.
He's right.
And everybody's like, what's going on with this guy? And his just obsession with Amber and not even giving a damn. Like you said, this is $500,000 on the block for any one of us. And you're just turning into, God, single white male just trying to, like, I don't know, make this girl fall in love with you, and she does not like you, dude. Everybody can see it.
Yeah, so, it's bad. It's bad. It is the height of creepy. At this point, he's following her places. She can't even lay, like, and talk with anybody in the room, or God forbid. Although I do have to say, Cody mm-hmm. has been getting somewhat handsy a little bit with, like, rubbing her knee.
Oh, her neck. Yeah.
So, God forbid, I don't know that Caleb has actually seen that part, or he could potentially just go bananas on him.
He's seen.
So I'm kind of a little worried.
Right. He's seen Amber, like, touching all over him. I should clarify, Caleb has seen Amber touching all over Cody, massaging him and whatnot, so they've been spending lots and lots of time together, and whenever they're found alone by Caleb, things get crazy awkward. And so, along the way here, we have more of my favorite showmance of the season. Nicole and Hayden cuddling up together, and just, it was funny because they were just in the bed. I was like, finally, Hayden is in the bed with her, but she still wasn't letting him kiss her. And was that Victoria that came in the room? Where has she been?
Yeah. Victoria. I don't know. Something's up there. You know, I mean, she's obviously, like, really poised for all that attention. Mm-hmm. She's trying to play, you know, I mean, she came out in those heels and that bathing suit.
Cover up, yeah.
Trying to work the whole thing. Mm-hmm. But, you know, she feels she's the hottest in the house.
Oh, yeah. She said that, like, day one.
Day one. Mm-hmm. Right. So I'm kind of curious as to where she is, since she's been getting zero male attention, and frankly, no female attention either. I mean, not that it's like, as any bit. She's been getting no attention.
No. And you know what it reminds me of? Remember last year?
Yes.
What was her name? She was a cute girl, dark hair, olive skin. Yes.
And then somebody made some comment. I think it was Amanda Zuckerman or something. Like, she looked really bad in her outfit or something like that, right?
She was a cute girl, but she thought she was the hottest girl in the house, and she couldn't buy a showmance.
Nothing.
I can't think of that girl's name.
Proof positive. Doesn't matter what you think. Someone out there is sick of your shit.
Right. Oh my God. She just,
you know, I'm right.
She proclaimed it, like, as soon as she came in, that I gotta think of this girl's name, because I was like, really? You think a lot of yourself there. Let me try not to do too many things at once and try to, I'll think of that girl's name. But anyhow, that's who Victoria reminds me of, not being able to buy a showmance. At this point, all the guys are taken or married.
Right. Exactly correct.
So,
oh boy, so sad. So in this episode, mm-hmm. Let's see here. We know that Cody's going around trying to talk. So those are kind of like the snippets of conversation we're seeing mm-hmm, right mm-hmm. before the live eviction.
Right, right.
So it kind of gets the viewer in the mode that, mm-hmm. oh my gosh, the inevitable might not happen.
Right.
With Devin.
Right.
And it might be Caleb's out, because everyone expects the pawn to go home.
Right.
So then we have the live vote.
Right. Did you think for a second that, because, you know, we've seen it before, and it could very well happen, Did you think that they could have a change of heart appeared?
Not really.
Yeah.
Not really, because I think just Devin has just devastated his own game.
Yes.
To such a degree.
Right.
That he's completely unusable, untrustable, and, you know, as much as I think he could have carried the physicality of this entire show with mm-hmm. the competitions, he could have carried it mm-hmm. 100%. I think he would have won competition after competition if it came to strength or speed or whatever. Mm-hmm. Well, these big guys often aren't very quick. Mm-mm. They're big and they're strong, but they're not quick.
And they don't do very well in a lot of endurance competitions because they're so big. Like, most people in those endurance competitions are light in the ass, as one would say. Like, they're physically fit or whatever, but they're not bulky.
And they're not cardio fit.
Right, exactly.
They're strength fit.
That's what I'm looking for, strength fit. Yeah.
Yep, mm-hmm. yep. They're strong people, they're not cardio fit. It makes a difference, especially if speed's a requirement in the comp. So mm-hmm. I think that's kind of interesting. Something else we see before the live eviction, this is what I actually mentioned at the beginning of the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
We hear Donnie's family, Jeff, Jordan's favorite guy, Jeff.
Yes. They're still together, by the way.
I know. You know what? I think they might actually, like, survive. I think they might actually get married.
They might. I'm kind of surprised that they haven't gotten engaged quite yet, but they're still together, so.
Well, Jordan, how she's so cute, like a little pumpkin.
Yeah, she was like 20 when they met, so they have time. Anyway.
They have time. Yep. So, okay, so what we know is that Donnie's parents do not watch the show.
No.
They watch shows that haven't been on the air for
40 years.
Four or five decades.
At least.
Good thing, like, they have high def TV. What's going on there? So I also thought it was really touching that we meet Donnie's brother, who's a teacher who has only one arm,
right.
And one arm that is not, I guess, not even, I don't know, he can only use it partially.
Right. Yeah.
And so I just think pretty cute.
Yeah, those were his sisters talking about him, and
yeah.
Jeff was like telling them all of the theories that they have regarding Donnie, and they just like died. Like, no, he wakes up, he has his Pop Tart, then he goes to his groundskeeping job and
puts in his eight hours.
That's it, and he comes home and does his puzzles.
And
helps his brother,
takes
care of his brother.
I thought it was really touching that we'd hear from the brother, and he's like, I need to thank him more for everything he does.
I like that, too. That was really sweet.
Very sweet.
It was
yeah.
very sweet.
I mean, this guy's a really nice guy, and I think having $500,000
would make
a huge difference in
his
life.
Oh, my God, yeah.
I'm not even sure what kind of difference it would be, because I'm not even sure how he would use it. He probably would just give it to his family, because he just seems like that kind of guy.
He does. I was going to say the exact same thing. I could see him going right back to his regular job. Maybe getting a bigger, newer pickup truck or something, but not doing anything crazy, you know.
So cute. Maybe he'll marry his girlfriend.
Maybe he will.
He is 40.
Yep.
I mean, I don't know what that means.
He looks 50, but
he looks 50.
Whatever.
No question. Time spent in the sun, Rennie. That's what happens.
Jeez. I bet you if he cut that beard off,
he probably looks a lot younger.
It probably looks like
that at the finale.
So, but yeah, I thought that was really touching, and his brother was just like, even though, you know, Donnie's talked about his brother and saying, you know, how self-sufficient he is, how he's a teacher, even though he has, you know, these disabilities, and here we have his brother, I'm such a sad, but here we have his brother who, yeah, is self-sufficient and able to do some things. Really realizes all the help and, you know, assistance that he gets from Donnie. It made me kind of tear up. I can't lie.
Yeah. I think it even made Jeff tear up.
Yeah. But Jeff was so funny. He was like so deadpan with Donnie's family, and they weren't getting any of his.
He's a likable guy.
He is.
He's a likable guy, him and that Jordan.
They are. He's made a complete living off of CBS over the past 5 years. Oh, yeah.
He's, you know what? He's easy on the eyes and he's a likable character. Right. Fella.
Right. Because they were on Amazing Race and on Big Brother twice. And now he does.
And she's also won Big Brother. Jordan won Big Brother.
Oh, yeah. She won. She actually won.
Yep. So that's no small chunk of change.
No. I wonder what she did with. She probably bought like 500 million pink.
She went to hair pink. School, girl.
That sounds about right for for Jordan.
She went to hair school. That was a big thing.
Mm, God.
And she talks a little like this, and she went to hair school.
Hair school.
And y'all, I went to hair school.
Oh, my God.
That's right.
All right, so we got a little off track here. Let's get back on track. That's okay. So we have all of this, you know.
With the live eviction.
The live eviction. The vote is about. We got off track because I asked you, did you think for a second that they would change their mind about who the target was? But this is the live eviction. We find out. What did we find out, Aunt?
Nobody voted for Caleb.
Oh, nobody voted for Caleb. Complete.
No, everybody wants Devin out, and thank goodness for that. I say.
Yeah, I have a theory on possible ways Devin could get back in the house, but we'll see, because you know every season they have. One competition where booted house guests get an opportunity to compete to get back in. But I don't know. That might be far-fetched, but it could happen. This may not be the last we see of Devin. Just a thought.
I think also, I think it's notable to say here, I guess that they've made, CBS has made a deal with the makers of Fitbit.
Yes.
And all of the people in the house are wearing a Fitbit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think you can take a look at that online.
Right. We mentioned that in the last week long podcast that we did about all of the efforts CBS was making on behalf of Big Brother and securing all of this buzz and social media and such for these big brothers.
Can we please monitor Caleb's heart rate when he gets around Amber?
I'm tempted to go on and remember I told you I had no interest in any of that, but just because you said that, I'm suddenly want to know what Caleb's.
Can we match it to activity?
Oh my God, that guy, he is totally smitten with her. Actually, it's not smitten anymore. It's completely creepy now.
But... it's beyond creepy. It scares me.
Oh God. So yeah, a unanimous eviction. Everybody says goodbye on his way out of the door. What's her name? Brittany gives him a little tinfoil heart, and everybody says hugs and gives him one last goodbye, and he goes out and gets to sit with Chimbot for a little bit.
Oh, Chimbot.
It was a good conversation. Minus the part where right before he got to see the goodbyes from some of the house guests, when he comes out and her very very first question is like, basically what happened, and he makes some comment about, you know, basically I played the game hard, and when you play hard, everybody knows if you start. Boy. If you start out playing that hard, you're going to be the target. And I was like, I don't think you started out playing hard. That's not how I would describe your gameplay. What do you think, Ant? Do you think was that his downfall? I know he started out doing too much.
I mean, you can't play an entire season in a day and a half.
Right.
And that's number one. Number two, you can't, begin alliances with, 95% of the house.
Right.
okay? Because ain't nobody got time for that.
Right.
Okay, that's number two.
Right.
Number three, when you come off like a psychotic tyrant,
yes.
People don't like that.
No.
I mean, don't work for Saddam. It's not going to work for you.
No, it has.
Nobody wants somebody to yell at them, tell them what to do. Nobody, but nobody.
So.
People oust leaders like that. Oust them.
It happens,
I mean,
all the time.
People die to get people like that away.
Exactly.
I mean, so no, that's no good.
But no, so, he attributed it to his hard gameplay is
no,
when he tells.
He had no gameplay. It's not gameplay if you come in and you announce you have gameplay. That's another thing.
Right.
Like, hi, ladies. We have an alliance. It's called the Bomb Squad. We want you two to be a part of it. Oh, let me go wake up Caleb and tell him.
Dude, that was the
these girls are now part of our alliance. Okay, why? How did they find out? Oh, they just knew, bro.
They know. Yeah, that was like my favorite Devin moment by far.
So, right. So the eviction, I felt like this entire week was incredibly, I mean, predictable.
Right.
And, you know, I there's none of this is surprising.
None of it's surprising.
No.
That's why I asked you if you thought that there was even a remote chance that.
Not
you,
even a little you, remote chance.
You were falling for the whole Caleb lean that they tried to edit.
No. I mean, I appreciated
the attempt.
But, you know, I mean, there was too much hatred for this guy from the onset. Just too much hatred.
Yep, I agree. Although Caleb's making a pretty strong case for being the next target, as far as I can see. Let's talk really quick before we end this thing about who are your front runners and who do you think. I would also like, before we do that though, to say that I called it. Two, 3 weeks ago that Devin would only be around for 2-3 weeks. But like you said, that was not very, that was very predictable.
Yeah. I mean, I think we both thought, like, what the hell is this guy doing here?
Right.
Because essentially he came in with no game. He continued with no game. Or he came in with, like, a mysterious game that only he understood. Because I certainly didn't get it. You didn't get it. I would imagine that most of the people who watch this show don't get it.
No.
Because it's just not an effective way to play the game. So, okay. So that being said, front runners.
Yes.
Derek,
mm-hmm.
Christine. And dare I say Donnie might actually have a shot here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think all the way, but definitely in like the final 5-6.
Okay. I'm with you on Donnie.
I like Derek. Derek's smart. Derek's low key. Derek
yes.
talks lots of, around a lot of situations.
Mm-hmm.
He's not incredibly abrasive.
Right.
He's not, you know, he's very like, you know, bro, this
yes.
With the guys, and at the same time, really chill with Nicole. And I really like the way he's handling it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the guy is an undercover cop.
Right.
He's used to lying.
Yes.
He's used to making himself look good. He's used to blending in.
Right.
That's what's happening here.
That's exactly what's happening here.
You know, and I think he's probably, I don't think he'll ever be able to be an undercover cop after this, by the way.
Probably not. I mean, maybe he'll get a part in 23 Jump Street. I don't know, but.
I mean, something's going on.
I don't know how the rest of his undercover career could survive, which may be, but. I'm definitely feeling him as a front runner. I feel like he's really grown on me. His social game is, like I said, he's like one of those people that just fall into shit.
Lovable.
He's lovable, and it's just like, he's just not causing any trouble besides what he went blabbing Nicole's secret right after she told him, but you know what I mean. He's just a sweet guy, so I think he's rounding out my top four. Of the girls, I want to say I think Brittany is going to show us something. We'll see. she has a mouth on her, and she seems to not back down to, you know, guys like Caleb and Devin. So we'll see what she has to offer. They think, people seem to think that Amber is a strong competitor. I haven't seen anything she's really done.
Nothing. But Amber, boom. She's honestly, the only way she's going to advance is if she's carried by one of the guys.
Her king.
She's not an effective. I don't think she's really doing, like, I wouldn't say that she can't do it, but I wouldn't say, like, she's necessarily an effective competitor physically. I don't think her social game is great. I don't see her doing, like, what Christine's doing. There's not a lot of, like, you know, back and forth trying to figure out. My opinion, I don't see that in Amber's game. So. Right.
So I would say Christine is my other female. I know Nicole considers herself a super fan, but as you would say, with her pee-picking heart, I don't see her playing. She's not playing the game. So Christine and Brittany seem to have a inkling as far as the female house guests go, of how to play this game, but we'll see. Victoria, I completely forget that she's on the show until I see her every now and then. Jocasta, she's not doing much. So that's my four. My fifth, I'm still feeling Hayden.
Yeah. Interesting. Maybe he is kind of under the radar.
Yeah. For now.
For right now.
Right now.
It'll be interesting to see.
Yeah.
We'll see what's going on this week.
We'll see what's going on this week. So we'll be back. Do you have any parting?
I don't have any parting words. I'm into the season. I'm getting into it. I'm happy Devin's gone. Life is good.
Right. I'm liking it so far. I still think we could do without the Battle of the Block, two heads of household business. So I don't know how long that they'll carry that part of it on. But yeah, Devin's gone. I love when Julie lets him know that Donnie is not ex-military. It just makes him look and feel like even more of a bonehead, being all paranoid in the house after 2 days. So that's all I got. So we'll be back. Like I said, we'll be back on Friday, I hope, after Thursday's live eviction, to recap the next three episodes leading up to the next live eviction.
Okay. Got it.
So in the meantime, do subscribe to us on iTunes. We are the THEE Big Brother Podcast, or you can find us under Aunt and Rennie's Reality Recap Podcast. You can find Antonella on Twitter at Antonella B.
That's me.
And I'm at Renita Really, or you can also check us out on Facebook, Rennie's Reality Podcast. Until the next live eviction, I think we're signing off.
All right, take care. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.